Dear friends, are you a fan of superheroes? Do you have a favorite one? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's not your thing, and that's fine. But it's impossible to deny the influence of superheroes in pop culture today. If you go to any department store and glance down the toy aisle, you will no doubt see various costumes, action figures, and toys depicting various superheroes. Go to any movie theater this time of year, and you will see some movie about some ordinary underdog who finds himself a mask, or maybe a cape, or maybe both, and ends up saving the world in some extraordinary way. There are literally hundreds of stories about hundreds of different fictional superheroes, and all of these make-believe superheroes have one common flaw. They're make-believe. They're not real. Well, our text for this morning comes from John 1, verses 1 through 5. And the Apostle John gives us the incredible, the true tale of your real-life superhero, the Word. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." John starts with very simple words, "in the beginning." He's quoting Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He's using this shock factor, this bold statement, to get his reader's attention. He's saying, "In the beginning, the Word was there." And it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was absolutely present before and at creation alongside the Father and the Holy Spirit. Even today, many churches deny this fact. They deny that the Scriptures are 100% true, and in doing so, they deny that Jesus is 100% true. And we're all guilty of this in one way or another, of denying Jesus. Whenever we take personal pride in our own thoughts, words, or deeds, we try to replace Jesus' work on the cross when we thank ourselves for solving our own problems, when we praise ourselves for our own successes. We make Jesus less than almighty, less than eternal, less than God. In verse 3, John goes on to say that all things were made through Him. In the same way that "in the beginning" is emphatic, so too is the word "all." Not some things, not most things, not a few things, but all things. All things were made through Him. Colossians 1:16, "For by Jesus Christ all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." John says again, "Without Him nothing was made that was made." Just like in verse 2, John repeats himself in very clear and undeniable words that not one thing was made without Him. What John's really saying is that Jesus, that second person of the Trinity, is the absolute exception to creation. He is eternal. He was never created. He was only begotten, but never made. He always was, He always will be, He is. John says in verse 4 that in Him was life. The life that you are living right now and every single day, only possible through Jesus Christ. The same Jesus whose perfect life began some 2,000 years ago in a lowly stable to a humble virgin. The same baby who was born to die an innocent death on Calvary. John goes on, "The life was the light of men." Let's turn that statement around. If the life was the light of men, then sin and death is the darkness of men. John says later in chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Every time we sin, we show our love for darkness and evil. We put ourselves and our supposed needs in front of God. How about you? What are some of your vices? Do you complain too much? Is your negative attitude getting in the way of seeing God's blessings for you in every aspect of your life? Are you a gossip? Is your desire to know the deep, dark secrets of your neighbor so great that you find yourself continually breaking the eighth commandment over and over again? Time and time again, we fail to recognize our own sins that continue to nudge us further and further from the Word. Verse 5 states, in gloriously simple words, that the light shines in the darkness. Well, to get an accurate perspective of the meaning of this amazing statement, we must look at it in the context of creation. Remember, the world was created in darkness, Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Yet God, with His wonderful foreshadowing, paints us a picture of our personal superhero. He goes on in Genesis 1:3, "Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good." Since the beginning of time, the very first thing needed was light. God knew it, and God provided it. Thousands of years have passed since then, but that fact has not changed. In the same way, the first thing that we need in this world of sin and darkness is the light of Christ. It's why Christ came in the first place. It's why the glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds that first Christmas. It's why the angels proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill to men. The Apostle Paul states clearly in 2 Corinthians 4:6 that it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light can only do one thing in the darkness: shine. Jesus is that light. He is the antidote to darkness. He conquered all sin so that He could forgive you of yours. Finally, in dramatic climax, John says in verse 5 that the darkness did not overcome it. The action of the light, the Word, Jesus Christ, is eternal and conquering. The action of the darkness, well, it's dressed in failure. It tried to overcome the light. It failed. It never had a chance. Through the perfect life and innocent death of our superhero, our Savior, Jesus, we have been redeemed, bought back from sin and death and darkness. Our real life superhero did something that no mortal man could do. He kept the law perfectly. He died on the cross innocently, and He rose from the dead victoriously. His victory was never in doubt. It was a sure thing from the beginning. Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." That's us. We are no longer in darkness, but rather walking in light. The same light that guided the wise men from the far east to the feet of their infant Savior. The same light that once again leads us to a lowly stable in Bethlehem this Advent season. With the gospel burning in our hearts and lives, we are able to give all glory to God in all that we do, not priding ourselves in our own successes. We are able to leave chapel this morning, giving glory to God, not complaining or giving in to uncontentment or gossip or whatever sins may be haunting us. For they have all been washed away in the blood of our real life superhero, Jesus. The Word, Jesus Christ, He fits all the criteria of a good superhero, with one major addition. He's real. He's better than any fictional superhero that we could ever come up with. He's the Word, and He's already won. And we will sing about Him in the words of hymn 578, verses 1 and 4. 578, 1 and 4.